teaching. I'm sure you can all hear me in the back of the back row. You can't hear me back there? All right, I'll speak up. I'm Chet Rookledge, host of Mason in the Morning, KKEY talk show. And we had the privilege of having David on for an interview. This meeting tonight has been brought to you by the Citizens Information Network. And that group, the CIN group, regularly meets up at JJ North on Saturdays from 9 to 11, about once a month, and it brings in a host of speakers as they're bringing in David tonight. It is an organization, and Mike Kader, wife Stacy, Ben Miffler in the back, if any of you want any information on CIN. It does the job of bringing in, as I say, speeches. They discuss just about everything. In politics, especially, they focus on. And so anyway, the Portland CIN meeting is the second Saturday of every month, and that's at JJ North. And then there's a Vancouver meeting the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Old Country Buffet. And that's up on 78th Northeast Vancouver Plaza Drive. And so this is the group that has sponsored this meeting tonight. I had the pleasure of interviewing our guest tonight on radio, and I had heard him before when one of my co-hosts on KKEY, Kate Flitt, had brought this subject up, and she had interviewed him early on. I have long been fascinated with this subject of reverse speech, and it was an interesting thing to hear David when he was being interviewed by Kate Flitt, and reinforced my memories of the subject. I'd run across it occasionally in the last 10 years. Especially, we heard about the backmasking on the kids' rock and roll records or whatever it was at that particular time of music, and certainly the fundamental churches were pretty well involved and got pretty well upset about it. But it was intriguing. And the question in my mind, of course, at that time, was it an art or was it a science or was it just a mishmash and maybe some statistical aberration, much as we have white noise in statistics? And that was a question long in my mind. And so I was able to bring David on, who has studied this phenomenon for now 14 years. And certainly he has a background, an interesting background, where he as a youth counselor became interested in backmasking on record when it became popular those many years ago. And he studied the subject and has spent much of the last 14 years in that particular field. He's being well recognized. He's going to be on Geraldo here shortly. It was on Art Bell.
On Thursday night.
Art Bell Thursday night. So he is getting recognition for this subject. And I think there's much to it. And I think it can be, as everything else, it is a delightful tool. It can be a tool for liberty. And it can be a tool for tyranny, depending on who uses it. So I think it is a double-edged sword, and I hope we can get it out where it could be used. It would be wonderful if every week on the Internet you could pick up the latest reverse speech analysis of the politicians in Washington. I was reviewing today, it always infuriates me, I was reviewing Rules of Engagement, the story of Waco, and I thought if David had had a chance to analyze those speeches by the FBI agents as they testified to the Congress, how beautiful it would have been to get a update analysis on what was said that day. And plainly, Amy Gifford did a wonderful job of showing the things that were going on in there, but how wonderful if we could have got that reverse speech. So David has been working at this way. He has, in his field, he has been mentioned to the Nobel group. Certainly, to even be mentioned for one of those prizes is quite significant for his work in this particular field. And while he was on my program, I gathered that he'd come from Australia. He had been involved here in youth work when he fell into the study of this particular phenomenon. And so, without much further ado, David John Oakes.
Hi, how
How is everyone? Thank you very much for having me along tonight. We're going to try to get into a fair bit of depth tonight. For the first hour or so, I'm just going to cover the basics, which I've probably covered on the radio several times. But in my public lectures, I'd like to go a lot deeper than what I do on the air. There's a whole lot more to reverse speech than just simply what we are thinking, feeling at the time of speaking, and it's the very deep aspects of reverse speech that really excite me, which gets down into the unconscious mind and down to the soul itself. And in the second half of my lecture, I'm going to go right into the real depths of reverse speech. But to begin with, we're just going to give you a general overview and introduction of what reverse speech is for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to hear me. I've got some slight technical problems tonight. My laptop is on its last legs, and what you can't see is it's propped up here with books and tissues, and if I breathe on the screen, it's going to crash, so I'm going to be working this very delicately. So let's begin by giving you an introduction, how this all began, how reverse speech really started. As you've noticed already, I have a slight speech stutter, so if you'll just bear with me through that. When I was a teenager, I could barely speak. In point of fact, I couldn't. I couldn't get two words together. I've always thought it's very ironic that a chap with a speech stutter is analysing speech for hidden messages. So the universe is a strange way of bringing synchronicity together. Back in October of 1983, I was living in Los Angeles. I've been coming back to America since I was 20. I've always loved the United States, and I will remember the day that reverse speech started very, very well, because it was my birthday, October the 30th, and I was getting ready to go out for the evening, and I had a Walkman strapped to my belt, and I went into the bathroom and to do various things, and I was leaning over the toilet bowl, and this Walkman that was in my belt fell out of my belt straight into the toilet bowl, and I was quite upset, and I pulled the thing out, and it didn't work, so I pulled the thing apart and tried to fix it up, and when I put it back together again, it only played backwards, and so I had this totally useless Walkman on my hands, and I promptly threw it into the junk drawer, but about 2 or 3 weeks later, I went back to Australia to live, I was going back to Australia, and for some strange reason, I packed my Walkman. So the fact that it survived, the fact that it even left America by itself was quite amazing, and I went home to Australia through London. I flew into London, and I had this urge to hitch through Europe on no money. I've always wanted to do that, just a test of faith. And so I was in London, and I had this big suitcase and backpack, and I threw it all into the trash, except for some sheepskin boots and a sheepskin coat, and this back was plain Walkman. I've no idea why I kept it. And I was hitching through Europe listening to Michael Jackson and Pink Floyd backwards. Quite an amazing thing. So I got back to Australia, and I went back to work into my normal profession, which is as a youth counsellor. I was raised as a country preacher's kid. My dad was a pastor to the Aboriginals in the outback, so I grew up in the dream time and the legends of that, and so I've really had a very colourful upbringing. So I went back to my usual profession as a youth counsellor. We opened up a drop-in centre in a small country town, and everything was going quite well until a couple months later, this fundamentalist preacher from the United States was travelling through, and he had these typical tent crusades, and he was preaching that rock and roll was the devil's music, and if you played records backwards, you could hear these hidden satanic messages. And I didn't take much notice of it until a lot of my kids in the drop-in center got onto the trend, and they were turning their turntables around, hearing all these eerie phrases. And I had several frightened teenagers in my office asking me what I thought about the whole thing. And I've always always been interested in audio on the ham radio. I've been listening to faint radio signals since I was this high. And I remembered this backwards playing Walkman that still survived the trip through Europe. And so I went home and I got out the Walkman and I wired it into my system and I got one of these tapes that supposedly contained backward messages, put the thing in and started playing it backwards, fully expecting to hear nothing but gibberish. And what I'm going to do, actually, I'm going to pull up on my computer the very first backward phrase I ever heard. So the kids were telling me about the song A Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, which the fundamentalists were really all up in arms about back in the late 70s and early 80s. So I put this on and listened to the whole song forwards and then played it backwards, and this is what I heard. And we're just going to play the last stanza of the song. Oops, we'll give it a shot. Being a Led Zeppelin fan, I knew that verse very, very well. What I wasn't expecting to hear is this, and I'm going to tell you initially what you're listening for. As the lecture goes on, I'm going to start to get you to hear it yourself, and I'll tell you why I do that in time. So I play this track backwards, and this is what I heard. It says, play, play, backward, hear words sung. Here we go. Coming up. Did you all hear that?
Yeah.
We'll do it one more time. The P's fairly soft. It's a long drawn out P. Play backwards, hear words sung. And that was the very first intelligent phrase I ever heard, and I will never forget my reaction. I got chills down my spine. I had the headphones on, I flung the headphones up against the wall, and I go, I'm not touching this demon-possessed tape player again, you know. And it really quite freaked me out. Once I recovered from the shock, because I intended to go home and show the kids what a load of rubbish this was, and of course for the very first time I couldn't. And I went back to the track and I was looking. Well, this has to be a trick. I mean, they've either manipulated the soundtrack or they've superimposed a message or something. But it was fairly obvious that there was no superimposed soundtrack. There is a recording technique called backward masking, which some of you may be familiar with. That's where groups will actually intentionally superimpose a track on top of a record. It's a fairly common technique. You can hear that fairly easily because you can hear gibberish in the background when you run the tape forwards. But this was not backward masking. There was no superimposed soundtrack. And to say I was intrigued was an understatement of the year. And then I got out a lot of my tapes and I just literally started playing my record collection in reverse to see what I could find. And over the next 2 or 3 months, I found backward phrases constantly throughout songs that I was looking at. Approximately 50% of all songs I looked at contained a very clear backward phrase, grammatically correct. Often was related directly to what the song was about forwards. If the song was about love, you get a backward phrase about love. If it was about a political song, you would get a political statement backwards and so forth. Then my research took a fairly significant turn because when I went down to my local record store and I was looking for a compilation of songs over the history of radio, I planned to trace this through to see if I could see any trend in music, and never even thinking to look at normal speech. And I got this compilation of a famous historical broadcast, and I was running the tape backwards, and you've all heard the example I'm about to play you, and I was running it in reverse and heard this very clear phrase. Actually, the first thing I heard was the two words spacewalk, and let me run this. And did you hear the spacewalk on the end? And the whole phrase actually says man will spacewalk.
Man will spacewalk.
Can you hear that up back. Okay, and once more. And not knowing, I had no idea what was on the forward then, and I flipped it around, and much to my amazement, heard this.
One small step for man, one giant leap for
man. And I'm going to run that forwards and backwards, and here we go with it forwards.
That's one small step for man.
And backwards. And I go, oh boy, what on earth is this? And the very next track I looked at was a live commentary of the President Kennedy assassination. At this stage, I should point out my career as a youth counsellor was pretty well shot, because the leader of the drop-in centre, me, was spending all his time at home playing taste backwards, and the rumour floating around the small little country town I was living in was Dave was totally flipped out. He spent too much time in California, you know. So I pulled out, this was the very second thing I heard.
Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade. Stand by, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound.
And right at the precise point, the commentator realized the shooting had occurred, and I'll run the forward of that.
Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting.
This very clear reversal occurred that says he shot bad, hold it, try and look up.
He shot bad, hold it, try and look up.
I mean, look, listen, he shot bad, hold it,
try and look up.
Can you all hear that? And again.
He shot bad, hold it, try and look up.
And I'll run that forwards and backwards.
That's the same exact section of tape that you're running?
That's exactly the same section of tape. Here it is, forwards.
Back and off, the head does shoot.
And backwards.
He shot bad, hold it, try and look up.
That's it. And let's do it again. Forwards.
Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting.
Backwards.
It's up there. Hold it. Fire the gun.
And let me show you something other very interesting thing. I'll run the whole track forwards again, and you'll notice that just before he says Parkland Hospital, he pauses momentarily, and it's actually right at the point he realizes the shooting Rushes has occurred.
Up the hill at this time. Stand by. Just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade.
Pauses.
Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting.
Okay, you notice that pause. That's one of the very first things I noticed when I started doing this, was the reversal generally occurred in the pauses and stutters and stammers of speech. If you ever listen to anyone talk for any long period of time, you'll notice their speech is full of pauses and stutters and mispronunciations, just like I did then, and tonal shifts, and we really don't take much notice of it. It's just so automatic, we don't even think about it. But you just, when you get home, just take great note of how people speak, and their speech is full of all these nuances and shifts and changes, and my research has shown over the years that those very inconsistencies of speech are there for the sole reason of creating and communicating speech reversals. So, I suddenly found myself with a whole new career and a whole new hobby and a rapidly diminishing circle of friends. No one wanted to come over to David Oates's house, because when they did, they would get a tape recorder shoved in their face, and I've got some stories that would that are really quite amazing. So, I started recording conversations, and I don't really, these are not in order. I'm just going to play a couple of them, and then I'm going to get on to my theory. So this is a classic example of something I would find. This is a friend of mine who is, this was actually recorded a few years back, a brand new friend I was meeting. We're just having a casual conversation.
I want to do them better. They were just French friends.
Yeah, so I was hoping to get one.
Obviously, I have it there. I'll give it to you. And
so just a casual conversation, and backwards he says, "Pleased to be your friend." I want you to listen to it again. Notice the sing-song tone to it. It's got this very ethereal, echoey type sound, a very melodious sing-song rhythm, very a classic characteristic signature of speech. And that was a fairly nice one, but then you would get ones like this. This is the one I'm going to play you now, was recorded a few years ago. This is a chap who wanted to be my business partner in publishing my books. So we're just chatting away generally about business. He's got an Aussie accent, but it's not me. I need to stress it up front. When you hear the reversal, you'll understand why.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree.
That way, if we contain sole rights to the books, then channel thrust. Now, are Anchor Point always going to be publishing this book?
Okay, you've heard three or four reverse. I'm going to run this in reverse. Listen carefully. Tell me what this guy's saying.
Thanks, I'll flourish it.
Thanks, I'll flourish it.
What have you got there?
Thanks, I'll flourish it.
Someone's got it. I'm so full of shit.
Thanks, I'll flourish it.
Put yourself in this guy's position, right? This is a guy who's come over to me to sell me on a business contract. And so I say to him, well, do you mind if I tape this and run it in reverse? And of course he says, no, that's fine, David. Now, imagine that you're this guy. And you hear this phrase on you. What on earth are you going to say? I mean, what can you say? This stuff is embarrassing. I mean, it really is. I mean, you think of some of the thoughts that you have all the time. I mean, we all have these multitudes of thoughts going through our head, you know? And, sorry?
Did you sign the contract?
Absolutely not. There ain't no way. And then, of course, you have embarrassing moments like Bill Clinton giving a speech and his eyes glance down at the front and see this nice woman sitting down.
Battling discrimination against mental illness, caring for children of veterans who suffer from a terrible disease.
Quite a noble speech, and backwards he says, "See's little breast."
"See's little breast." "See's little breast."
Okay.
She is in the world.
Now, these are all sacred thoughts. I mean, you know, we don't really think that what we think. I mean, you could find a reversal like that on me or anyone. I mean, these are all thoughts that go through our mind all the time, you know. And just imagine your soul being stripped. All of a sudden, there's no more secrets. There's nothing you can hide. Every thought that you have, both conscious as well as unconscious and down to the soul itself, is embedded backwards into the sounds of your speech. It's a revolutionary, radical concept. So, for 3 years, from 84 to 87, my whole life changed into one of playing taste backwards. And I was trying to work all this stuff out. It was, like, really stunning, you know. And I would, I remember ringing several universities in Australia, and I was met with actually not just disinterest, but just violent reaction against it. I've always been, and even to this day, I'm still puzzled at the violent rejection of this without even looking at the evidence. You know, for those people who are fiddling with this yourself, and I know some of you are, just go back and remember some of the reactions you get. I mean, you get some amazing reaction talking about this. I've had people become violent just at the thought and concept of this. Why is this so? We'll cover that as the lecture goes on, but essentially, just to give you a brief overview now, what this stuff is our deep inner self talking. It is our soul, it is our spirit, it is the deepest part of us that most of us have ignored and shoved and put aside for so long. And to suddenly be confronted with it sparks off all those emotions and feelings, and as this technology gets out and sweeps the world, imagine the reactions that's going to happen. I've got a burnt-out house. I've got a burnt-out office. I've got death threats. I've got a poisoned dog. I'm currently living in the barbed wire 5-acre compound because it's a very threatening technology. So, in 1987, in April, after I was trying to work out what this was all about, I suddenly woke up in the morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll never forget the day, and there was two words burning in my brain, and the words were reverse speech. And I went straight to my computer, and I wrote what I call my theory of reverse speech and speech complementarity. The theory has basically remained unchanged since I wrote it, although we've expanded on it quite substantially. humanity since then. And my theory basically states that the process of spoken communication is twofold. As the human brain is constructing the sounds of speech, it's putting those sounds together in such a way that we're delivering two messages simultaneously. The first message is conscious or forward speech, as I'm talking to you now, and that is generated by the left brain hemisphere. The second message is unconscious, is backwards, and is being generated by the right brain hemisphere. The two parts of us speaking simultaneously, forwards, conscious, backwards, unconscious. And so I claim to have discovered a whole new form of human communication that has the potential to change the whole course of civilization, because it means that the human mind is no longer private. Anything that you are thinking and feeling at the time of speaking is embedded backwards into the sounds of your speech. And that's just the surface levels. In the second half of the lecture, I'm going to go into the real implications of reverse speech, which I never talk about on the radio. Okay, let's just explore this whole phenomenon of reverse speech just a little bit, I wanted to talk about some of the theoretical developments that I have made over the years. One of the thoughts I had was, okay, if this is a natural form of language, if this the brain is automatically doing this, when does it begin? Are we born with it? Is it a genetic imprint, or is it a learned function from birth? And as luck would have it, in July of 1987, 2 months after I wrote my theory, I became the father of twin girls, Jay and Simone. They're now 10 years of age, and they live with me now. I'm a single dad, and I have my kids, and they're my joy of my life. They're just finally beginning to understand what dad does for a living, especially when one of them's lying, the threat is, come over here, you see this tape recorder here, come and talk into this, and they've finally begun to twig on, oh my gosh, we can't lie to dad. And one of my kids said the other day, Dad, it's just not fair. All the other kids at school can lie, and we can't. How come we had to get you for a dad? You know, so quite amusing. So I started to tape my kids from the moment they got home from hospital. My marriage lasted about a year or so after that, and it broke up directly as a result of reverse speech. And in point of fact, I've got three broken marriages, and all of them has been as a result of reverse speech. You imagine being with a partner who can read your mind. I mean, that's pretty scary stuff. So I began taping my kids. I want to play you the very first intelligent sound I heard on them. For the first 4 months of their life, I found nothing but gibberish forwards and gibberish backwards. I would tape them for probably a couple of hours a week and then go home and run the tapes backwards and see what I could see. Then at 4 months of age, I found my very first intelligent statement. We were over at a friend's house playing a game of Trivial Pursuits. The kids were across the other side of the room and they were crying. We hadn't gone to attend to them. But it was this one particular cry I'm about to play you now is a cry that got their mum to go up and check them out. That's a standard cry. And if you listen very carefully, you'll hear in the background the very clear sound of mummy. Mummy. Well, actually, the first mummy is a little bit distorted, but the very clear one is right in the background. You hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you hear that? Isn't that amazing? And that's probably another reversal that sent chills down my spine. I found that. I said, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And then for the next few months, their language in reverse began to increase fairly substantially. They said, mummy, daddy, hungry, help. They called each other's name, Jay and Simone. And then at 7 months of age, I found my first two-word reversal. You all know this. This is who, those of you who listen to Art Bell know that this is Art Bell's favourite. I just want you to know how much clearer it is off the original tape than it is over the air. You lose a lot of quality over the air. You all know the story. Those of you who heard me lecture, I was running around the room with a tape player chasing my daughter, you know, shoving it in her face, talk backwards for daddy, talk backwards for daddy. And she suddenly sees the tape player and reaches out for it. She goes, "Hugga!" Which backwards reverses to what's that? that amazing? Right at the point she's reaching for the tape player. Incredible stuff. And from 7 months of age, things really started to take off. They began to develop a whole other language backwards. And you ever heard kids chatting away to themselves in baby talk and saying, gee, I wish I knew what they were saying? Well, guess what? They are having whole conversations backwards. I've got entire dialogues, my two twin daughters, having conversations in reverse. I don't have any of those with me to play, unfortunately. My hard drive, I've got an external hard drive that carries most of my examples, and that crashed on Friday, so I've only got what's in my system. So I don't have any of my space reversals or NASA or Mars reversals with me, so we'll just have to work with what we got. But the amazing thing about kids' reversals is how clear they are. They're just stunningly clear, just really sweet and innocent stuff. Here's my daughter in the bathtub. She's trying to pick up a cup. And backwards she says, David, help me. Fascinating thing. She uses my name in reverse, and I find that quite a, you know, there's not a week that goes by in my practice. I've still run my therapeutic practice and see clients, and there's not a week that goes by where I don't find in reverse the name of someone's friends or relative or lover or what they did last week or the week before last. This is validating itself for me constantly every single week. So here we go. David, help me. Amazing, isn't that clear? And the fascinating thing was, this is the older twin here. Her name is Simone, spelled with a Y, S-Y-M-O-N-E. And her younger sister, who's 10 minutes younger, Jay, used to call me Daddy in reverse, and Simone called me David. Quite fascinating. That changed, and there was another interesting shift. When I came over to America to live, I didn't have them for a year until I finally got custody of them, and I didn't see them for a year. And when I went back to get them, it had changed from David and Daddy to Father. So there was, in that year gap, you got that sort of distance, and I was no longer this personal dad or David. That changed fairly quickly though once they began to live with me. Here it is again. Quite amazing stuff. And let's just play a few more kids' reversals, and then we'll get on to some of the controversial stuff, which I know you all want to hear. But you got to bear with me. I love kids. Here's one I played on the Art Bell program on Thursday night. It's the first time I'd ever played it. I've got dozens of these. It's a kid and her mum. And backwards, our mummy's sweet.
Our mummy's sweet.
Isn't that cute?
Our mummy's sweet.
Yeah, and Kid with a Dirty Diaper is one of my classic ones that I play on most of my radio programs. You should have to excuse me for squinting at the screen. It's just so faint. I'm definitely way overdue for a laptop, a new laptop. Here's a Kid with a Dirty Diaper, and Dad's bringing him a clean diaper. Just imagine the implications of this. What is this going to do to the whole field of child psychology and language development and linguistics? I mean, it's going to revolutionise the entire field. I mean, what it means is that essentially we now have access to the young child mind from as early as 4 months of age. We can actually trace their psychological development through their speech reversals. And imagine a classic situation. There's a suspicion of child molestation. Was a kid molested or not? I mean, I don't know what happens in America in these cases, but in Australia, the kid gets grilled by social workers and counsellors and the... it's just disgusting. And the whole therapeutic process does a kid more harm than the event itself. It really does. But with reverse speech, we can now go right in and find out, A, did the event happen? Did it not happen? What was the psychological effects of it? We can find out reasons for diseases like ADD ADD. I've worked with ADD very successfully because reverse speech will tell you why it's there, what's causing it, how you can go about fixing it and remedying it. We'll get into that in the second half of the lecture, but that's the most exciting part of reverse speech, is the whole exploration of consciousness.
Here, Dan, I got a diaper for you.
A diaper?
Yeah.
And where he says a diaper backwards, he says, help me out.
Help me out. Help me out.
And here it is forwards, and here it is forwards and backwards.
A diaper. Help me out.
Amazing stuff, eh? Okay. All right, so there we have some fun and games with kids. We've done a lot of work on kids. One of my students in my class now plans to devote her whole research career to children. Just fascinating stuff. Okay. A new reverse speech was going to cause me some problems, probably in the Australian elections in 1987. I was analysing one of our politicians who, this was Australia's Prime Minister. He's a very colourful chap. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records as winning the World Beer Drinking Championships. He was a heavy boozer. He's had numerous affairs, which he's quite open about. Australia has a different approach to those sort of things than America does. Provided the guy does his job well, we don't really care what their private life is like. But this guy was getting some flack towards the end of his first term, and he ran for re-election on the basis that he was going to give up his illicit lifestyle, drinking and boozing and womanizing, and so he's just won the election. And a reporter comes up to him and says, well, Mr. Hawke, how do you plan to celebrate now, you know, because you're not drinking? So he sarcastically says, several cups of tea.
What are your celebration plans?
Take it
down. What are your celebration plans?
Oh, several cups of tea.
And I ran this in reverse, and he says backwards, used to, past tense, used to smoke the best marijuana. So there we go, and this was actually my first media. This was got me my first media exposure in Australia. This went public, and the Australian TV networks picked it up, and I had a little burst of fame in Australia for a few months. But got a fair bit of flack for it too. Since then, three states in Australia since legalized marijuana. Whether that's got anything to do with this reversal, I've no idea, but it certainly caused a bit of flack back then. Okay, so let's move on. In 88, I got an Australian government research grant. I began to work with the Australian police on a couple of cases with just a stunning success. In one case, reversals pinpointed the location of murder weapons hidden in a basement. The police found it exactly where the reversal centre was. Here's one of those cases. The guy, where he murdered his wife's lover.
Did you ever threaten Alan Horne?
No, I've never threatened Alan Horne. I can never remember threatening him, although he did on occasion tell the police I threatened him.
And where he says, no, I never threatened Alan Hall, backwards he says, revenge killing the lad.
Revenge killing the lad. Revenge killing the lad.
You hear that?
Yeah.
And that was actually quite an amazing case. The police called me in on this one, and essentially what I found, my reversals revealed a fairly amazing scenario that he actually didn't do the killing, but his son did with a automatic 22, is what the reversal said. And I took that back to the police, and they were actually quite stunned because they suspected the son all along. And if you listen to the reversal, he actually doesn't say, I killed him. It's a generic statement, revenge. Killing the lad. Now, he had ordered the killing. He'd done it in conjunction with his son. But you'll notice reversal does not say, I killed him.
Revenge killing the lad.
Just generic.
Revenge killing the lad.
So that was actually quite fascinating. I began to take great note of the actual precise words that reverse speech uses. See, reversals are actually quite short. They're normally 4 or 5 words in length, and despite the fact that many people are coming out and saying they've found 22-word reversals, generally that is not the case. They're very short, sharp and precise in this melodious sing-song tone. And the language they use is very, very, very specific. And in the classes I teach, we take great note of the I's and the we's and what actual words are used. My next significant case in Australia was to do with the state of Queensland. There was a major corruption scandal there. The police commissioner was suspected of drug running. There was a royal commission called to investigate that. I don't know what that would be called here in the States. Yes, something like that. One of the reporters on the case brought me a tape to analyse of the police commissioner, and we found reversals that pinpointed the name of a bank and branch where he had hidden funds. Verified with corroborating evidence from some informants, and they went and got a search warrant or whatever they did, and found several $1 million stashed away in this secret bank account exactly where the reversal said it would be. So you can imagine the uses of this in police investigation work. And I'm just going to skip forward a bit. When I came to the States, I started doing work for the Dallas police with some stunning success, and one case they're looking for a body. Reversals have pinpointed it as located in a creek under a tree bed. Gee, I reversed my words there, didn't I? And the reversals found it exactly where it said it was. But my career with the Dallas police was suddenly cut short when I did an analysis on a crime and found a very detailed reversal talking about the police officer's cocaine deal that he conducted the week before. And I was ushered out of the office in no uncertain terms and have not been used by them since. And the only other contact I've had with the police force in America, well, when I first came out here, I met a chap called Scott Jones, who worked for Senator Claiborne Pell, and he set up a series of seminars for me in Washington, D.C., to mid-level reps of various security organizations. I did a 4-day workshop in Washington, which I managed to record, and actually got the tapes out, which I'm amazed they let me take it out, and I've still got those tapes to verify it took place. And as a result of that, when the Waco deal was on, I was asked by the FBI to analyze reversals on David Koresh, and I wonder if I've got them on my system here, or is that on my hard drive? Let's have a look. I may have some here. Yes, I do. I've got a couple of them. Okay. So I did an analysis on Koresh. I think I might even have the analysis posted on my website for those who have access to it. www.reversespeech.com is my website. It's a very substantial site, 700 pages. You can hear hundreds of reversals, and a lot of my research notes and data are all posted on there. And essentially, the reversal showed a very confused man. He did have a messianic thoughts, but basically he was just confused, looking for love and acceptance is generally what my reversals said, which is why he got this following of people around him. But reversals said that he would get out of the compound either if his mother or grandmother went in, or if the FBI or ATF went away. So I was actually quite stunned when they steadfastly refused to let his mother and grandmother into the compound. So there's also another method that I suggested to get him out, and I'm jumping forward to the second hour here. Have you noticed when you've listened to these so far, some of you are getting chills down your spine? I mean, do you feel how this is reverberating around your system? I developed a technique called reversal feedback, which I explained to the FBI at the time. And essentially, if someone is fed their own reversals back to them as a subliminal command, or what we call an embedded command in hypnosis, we won't get into how that's done, but if someone is fed their own reversals back to them, it creates quite a substantial psychological effect, and you can and you can actually manipulate someone's behaviour very effectively by using their speech reversals in controlled situations. And I suggested to them how they could do that, and I actually suggested put loudspeakers in the compound and feed reversals back to them. So when the loudspeakers came out a couple of days later, I was actually quite stunned. I don't think they ever did that, though. But let's look at reversals on Koresh.
I've heard a lot of statements the past couple of days from people that are versed in Scripture and from people that are students of the Bible, saying this and saying that about the meanings of these seals. Now remember, we already see that in heaven, Christ, when he reveals the seal, he's the only one that can do so.
Okay, that's him just preaching, and we got two reversals here. I think the first one is, we're sad, look what's happened.
We're sad, look what's happened.
You hear that?
We're sad, look what's happened.
And again?
We're sad, look what's happened.
And next reversal is, we see the meaning with my blood.
Well, he'd see the meaning of my blood, the answer soon.
The answer soon, at the end. We see the meaning with my blood, the answer soon. So, in one sense, he kind of knew what was going to happen, you know. And the day after the compound burned down, I had a phone call, telling me, do not talk about your involvement with the FBI, I'll never forget the words, or you will be crushed, was the words that was used. Once again, if you go to my website, you'll see evidence up there of my work. One of the local newspapers prior to the compound burning down actually reported on my involvement with them, and you'll see that newspaper clipping on my website. And this, that was the last contact I really had with the law enforcement community in the States. I've really steadfastly refused, well, not refused, I've been really leery of doing work with them. I do train some private investigators in my training classes, and it is being used in the private investigative community in a clandestine manner. There was a police officer I trained in Dallas. She took my training class, and she actually began to use this, once again, clandestinely in her investigations. What she would do is she would get a suspect in, she would bring the suspect into her office, that she would tape him, and then go and do the tape that night and come back the next day and say, look, we've had information in our possession that says this and this and this and this. And the guy would, there's one case in particular, she was...